It's time for JT the Brick.
The Raider offseason is about content that is productive.
Shotgun to O'Connell. Backpedaling. Lobbing to the end zone. Trying to get at him. Makes the grab. Touchdown, Raiders.
I thought Aiden O'Connell played pretty well last year. He's a quarterback who's serviceable.
Now pressure. Gets out of there. Colby's got it from behind. Back at the 45-yard line.
There's no better player who plays with heart and passion and speed than Mad Max Crosby. Wait till you see him this upcoming season.
JT the Brick.
Dodd to throw. Spillane on the blitz. And he wraps him up and holds him up for a sack.
I love the addition of Jack Jones. All the plays he made last year will be a great addition for this team moving forward.
Intercepted down the sideline. Intercepted Jack Jones. And he walks in. Touchdown.
And now.
Raiders. All right, now we're good. Let's get to it.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT in Vegas, Lotus Broadcasting in studio today as we are ready to roll. It's our Willie Mays tribute show. Yes, Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid, passed away yesterday at the age of 93. We will pay tribute to him today for just a short 2 hours. That's my plan. That's my show. That's what I want to do. Vinny Bonsignore will join me in studio in hour number two. We'll touch on Willie Mays. We'll dive into the Raiders. You'll get your Raiders content there. But this is a Mount Olympus guy. This is one of the all-timers in all of sports. Willie Mays passing away is similar to Muhammad Ali passing away. Someone on that magnitude, period. So we're a sports talk show. We're talking sports today, and there's nothing more important than Willie Mays. With all due respect to Caitlin Clark, I like to talk about her. I like to talk about hockey. Edmonton looks like they're coming back from the dead. Bobby's Boston Celtics won a title. There's a lot of sports going on. Bryson DeChambeau won the U.S. Open. But Willie Mays passed away, and let's do a good job today. Let's do a good job. Because I want to do a good job today talking about Willie Mays. And don't tell me you don't have a tweet or a call or an opinion on this, okay? I'm looking at people to step up today and have a Willie Mays story. Maybe you met him. Maybe you have an autograph. Maybe there's something in your life that connects you to Willie Mays that you could share with us. The Say Hey Kid passing away. And I'm going to do a lot of this today, and a lot of it's going to be from my storylines and memories. And I've only met Willie Mays once in passing at a card show that I was at with a couple other people, but not to the point where we shook hands and knew each other. So I don't have deep Willie Mays stories. I put out a text to Pete Rose and Reggie Jackson. They've been good to me. I'm sure they're grieving heavily today, but I put out a text. Maybe one of those gentlemen will pop on. If not, and we'll salute Willie Mays today on the impact that he had on your life as a baseball fan. He's that big of a deal. And man, have we had a rough run here over the last couple of weeks. Jim Otto, Bill Walton, Jerry West, and Willie Mays. And I'm sure there's plenty of other athletes who weren't Hall of Famers and had an impact on your life that might have passed away along the way. But this is very difficult. Very difficult. And that's about it. You know, I just heard back from Reggie Jackson. Reggie just texted me. I'm showing my YouTube feed here. If you're on YouTube, you can see it. I'm not making it up. Reggie Jackson said, I'm traveling to Birmingham now. I'll try to call you when I land in an hour. So maybe we'll get Reggie Jackson on the back end of this. Wow, Reggie Jackson and Willie Mays. I mean, this is the soundtrack and the life, my life as a kid. You know, I grew up in New York, a Yankee fan. Willie Mays obviously played for the Mets at the end of his career when I was a young boy. I remember that. And the fact that Willie Mays was my dad's all-time favorite player, and my dad was a Yankee fan who grew up in the DiMaggio Mantle era, right? Same time. And even diehard Yankee fans and Brooklyn Dodger fans from back in that era will say, yeah, it was Willie Mays. You had Duke Snider. You had Mickey Mantle. You had great players. Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra won 10 World Series. 10. He was a three-time MVP. Willie Mays was a two-time MVP. But Willie Mays was the greatest five-tool player to ever live. As you know, he could hit for average. He could hit with power. He could throw. He could defend. And most importantly, he could run. I think his stolen bases of 300-plus put him over the top with a lot of these other athletes. And to get you involved in the show, if you want to talk about Willie Mays, 702-365-9200. There's three players that you can never remove from Mount Rushmore. This is non-debatable. I don't care what you think, because I'm asking you for the fourth. Because you cannot move Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, and Henry Aaron. You cannot take them off of any list. You're a knucklehead if you try. So if the four greatest baseball players of all time, three of them will never change in 100 years, 200 years. You cannot take away the impact and the quality of play of Babe Ruth, who changed the entire sport, put it on the map, the great Willie Mays, the greatest player of all time, number one, Willie Mays, and then Henry Aaron, where someone would debate against Willie Mays. Those three stand. Now, the number four player could be Jackie Robinson, Lou Gehrig, Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, Sandy Koufax. So again, I do a Mount Rushmore topic when it's available and pertinent. It's kind of pertinent today. So instead of looking for your fourth player, you know, I'm a Pete Rose guy and the other players out there, just please agree with me that the three greatest baseball players, please don't fight me on this, is Henry Aaron, Willie Mays, and Babe Ruth. And that doesn't mention Ty Cobb, and that doesn't mention, you know, Honus Wagner. And it goes back to who are the greatest players of all time. Christy Mathewson, all these players, they're all old, old players. And a lot of people say, well, the old-timers can't be the greatest. Yeah, they were. They were the best. Mike Trout's great. Otani's unbelievable. And don't include Otani on any list if he doesn't pitch. Give me a break. Otani's not Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth. He's not. He's a really good hitter, and he's a great pitcher. But if he's not pitching, slow your roll on Otani. Until we see him throw a baseball again. I'm not putting him on a list. And then Barry Bonds, and this is going to be kind of uncomfortable here for a second, because I want to do the show as a tribute to Willie Mays. I don't want to do a Barry Bonds show today. But this was his godfather. And my godfather is my dad's identical twin, my Uncle Gene. And I have four godchildren that I was lucky enough to be chosen as their godfather, and they mean everything to me. So I understand the grieving that Barry Bonds is going through with his godfather and Willie Mays. Now, Barry Bonds lost me in life when he surpassed Willie Mays and had Willie Mays standing at home plate as he surpassed him and he was knowingly taking performance-enhancing drugs and went from a 500 home run guy to 700-plus. He lost me on that. I'm not saying Barry Bonds wasn't a great player. He was no Willie Mays. He's no Willie Mays. Because don't even tell me about, well, steroids weren't available back then. You see, I'm kind of off the reservation now. I'm going in a direction I don't want to go in. But Bonds could have been on that list without performance-enhancing drugs. But Bonds wouldn't have passed Willie Mays at 660. He would have gotten nowhere near Henry Aaron and Babe Ruth. He wouldn't have. No chance. No chance. And Bonds was a great player. He didn't have an arm. He wasn't good in the outfield with an arm. He had no arm. He could play the position. He was a good defender. And he could run the bases and do that. But Willie Mays was a far better player than some of the greatest players of the modern era. Alex Rodriguez before his troubles. Frank Thomas, friend of the show. Albert Pujols, one of the all-time greats, right? With the numbers to back it up. So for Willie Mays, the fact that he was in 24 All-Star games. In 1951, he was the Rookie of the Year. Then he had to leave Major League Baseball for two full seasons, almost two. He started off 52, then obviously as he was drafted for the war, he missed the season of 52-53, comes back in 54, in 54, and he wins the MVP. That would be similar to LeBron James winning the Rookie of the Year, which he did, then having to leave the NBA for two full seasons for some war effort where he was drafted and could not play, and then come back after that and win the MVP. You can't even wrap your head around it, can you? That's what he was able to do. On top of the fact that Willie Mays was a brilliant, brilliant Negro League player, playing in the Negro Leagues, and what he did in Birmingham, and the fact that they made him wait to become a pro, and they started him off in the minor leagues, which is baffling to me, because he came into the league, and he was the best player arguably in the league his rookie year. The All-Star games mean a lot, because I talked to Pete Rose about all of those All-Star games, and he wanted to win every one. Then he went to the Mets at the end of the year and caught a great Mets team in 73 and was on that team. And then I remember the talk at the end of his life of Willie Mays struggling to catch balls in the outfield. Who cares? That was at the very, 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 very back end of his career. And then they showed the video of him at 50 years old. 50 years old. 50! in an old-timers game at Chase Stadium where he tracked down a ball in the outfield and dove and caught it, which like 30-year-olds couldn't make that catch at the same time. Just wild stuff. So for Willie Mays, the impact he had, I guess the best way to describe this, is Willie Mays the greatest player of all time? I'm good with that. You know me well. Normally, I'm not good with that. Normally, I'm like the Babe Ruth guy. Get off Babe Ruth. Get off his cape. Get off of Babe Ruth, who led the league with home runs and had more home runs than teams in the league combined. That'll never happen again. But I have no problem. And then it comes down to Henry Aaron versus Willie Mays. Just like it should come down to Kareem and Michael Jordan. Maybe not LeBron and Jordan. It should be Kareem. And then Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio. Oh, my God. Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio? No, they were not as good as Willie Mays, but you can argue it. But I am sitting here, blessed to be on the radio show today to celebrate the life of the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays. From the stories of him playing stickball in front of little boys, in front of his apartment in New York, on his way to the game, buying the whole neighborhood ice cream, to being one of the really great pioneers in advertising in sports. Okay, we're talking print advertising magazines and Willie Mays being a global icon. I put Willie Mays on the short list with Muhammad Ali. I've had Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus on that list. Really, I think Jack deserves it more than Tiger for obvious reasons and all the transgressions of Tiger's career. You look at Ali, there weren't many players that were known and recognized all over the world. Willie Mays was. And you know, he lived a long life, and I think when we've seen this lately, Bill Walton died too young. Jim Otto died and had a great life. It was the same exact age as Jerry West. And Willie Mays lived into his 90s and was fantastic. And if you ever went to a Giant game or saw him out at a ballpark, wherever he was, they put the camera on him and the crowd would go crazy. The Raiders put out a nice X tweet about this on their social media. The Raiders did a classy job. Raiders really do a good job with all of that. And that's about all I got. I just wanted to say that you probably have better stories than I do. If you want to celebrate Willie Mays, it should be a celebration of his life today. And the fact that it's going into this Negro League game, this look back from, which is going to be tomorrow night in Birmingham, where he got his start and was their greatest player, along with Henry Aaron in the Negro Leagues and Josh Gibson, who we just found out that the Negro League stats are going to now transfer to Major League Baseball. It's very appropriate now. Isn't it really eerie in a weird way that Willie Mays died before this big game in Alabama in Birmingham? So they're going to pay tribute to him this way? That is fascinating. Now, Bobby's got a couple of sound bites from Willie Mays and his career. He'll be weaving it into the show. Let's play one.
Here is Mays, who has hit four balls right on the nose today, three for homers and one a line drive for center. Now the 2-0 delivery, and Mays sends another one. Tell it, bye-bye, baby. Aaron doesn't even move. It's gone far up into the center field bleachers. Willie Mays has tied a record, four home runs in a game. The county stadium is going mad.
So that is his four home run game of Willie Mays, and that goes back to April 30th, 1961. Chris in West Oakland leads us off on a very special show as we pay tribute to Willie Mays. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, JT. Yeah, you said it. Here we go again. God, we're doing this just way too many times, it seems, in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, we grew up a lot the same, JT, as sports fans with our fathers. It's funny. You know, you had, the Yankees. I say we shared Reggie Jackson because I had him in the early 70s. You had him in the late 70s in New York. Your dad had Willie Mays in New York. Well, my dad graduated high school in 1960. The A's didn't move to Oakland till 68. My dad despised everything San Francisco, as you know where I get it from. But his favorite player was always Willie Mays. I feel lucky enough to have seen Willie Mays in person once, live. I was a kid, 7 or 8 years old, saw him in the 1973 World Series in Oakland when he was still playing for the Mets. I remember him stumbling in the outfield, actually losing a fly ball in the sun, and probably costing the Mets a game and maybe the World Series. And I remember my dad saying, that's not the real Willie Mays. And You know, I another thing, I agree with you, JT, 1,000% about the Mount Rushmore, the first three guys. I don't believe there's any debate. I think you need a separate Mount Rushmore in baseball for pitchers. But as far as position players, I'm with you on the first three. I think there's as many as a dozen, maybe two dozen guys you can argue with the number four. But the top three are untouchable, and Willie Mays might be the best of all. I've always said if I could go back in time in baseball, and I do this with every other sport, pick one guy to see at the absolute peak of his powers, it would have been Willie Mays. And you said it. The guy lost two prime years of his career. Instead of 660 home runs, he's probably got 730, 740. And hell, he might have another, like Tim Kirchen said on ESPN, how many home runs did he lose playing in Candlestick Park before it was enclosed that horrible wind off the bay used to knock down? Again, it's a sad, sad day. But again, this guy is arguably the greatest player of all time, and I'm with you. It's hard to argue that point because there's so many different guys, but I have no problem with saying Willie Mays is the greatest baseball player of all time. And the only time I ever got to meet him, JT, was at an A's Giants game, and it wasn't really meeting him. Mm-hmm. You know how the Coliseum situated. It was in the late 1990s in the interleague play. The A's were playing the Giants. Me and my father were sitting in the second deck, kind of like Raider Mort seats used to be for the Raider game, that back row. Well, guess who's in the box right above us? Willie Mays. You met my dad a couple of times, JT. My dad wasn't starstruck. He never liked to bother athletes or anybody he saw. Willie Mays was sitting right over us. We both shook his hand. And by the way, if anybody ever shook Willie Mays' hand, you'll know it felt like it felt like your hand was in a vise. Mm-hmm. The man's, it looked like his hand was like a ham with fingers. He practically crushed my hand. He shook my dad's hand. My dad just said, "Hey, you know, nice to meet you. You were always one of my favorite guys." I never saw my father giddy or show any real emotion over meeting an athlete except for Willie Mays. And this was from an Oakland guy that despised San Francisco. So, again, probably the greatest player of all time. If you want to argue Henry Aaron, that's up for debate, but not on this day. Rest in peace, Willie. Anybody that got to saw this guy play, they should consider themselves lucky. And, again, this is happening way too often, JT, but the older we get, I guess it's going to keep happening a little more. So, shot of Crown Royal. Rest in peace, Willie. You are the greatest, and the baseball world will never be the same. Thank you, my brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Nice job, Chris, as always, leading us off here. Great phone call on Willie Mays. My story, I had my wedding here in Vegas, and I had seven guys in my wedding party and my best man, and I got them all gifts. And one of my cousins, I got him a Willie Mays autographed baseball. Authentic, real Willie Mays. My other person that was a baseball guy, I got him a Mickey Mantle ball. And at that time, it cost a decent amount of money, but not what it would cost today. We're talking 25 years ago. So I'm coming up to my 25-year wedding anniversary, and I remember my cousin opening that gift on my wedding rehearsal night and in tears, in absolute tears, that he got a Willie Mays baseball. And just the stories, the impact that he had from Two Coast. And Chris made a very good point. Everybody's talking about how many home runs did Willie Mays lose at Candlestick Park with the wind blowing in, and the Polo Grounds. Remember the Polo Grounds, the early part of his career, the home runs. That was one of the toughest ballparks to hit a home run. And then his 2 years of military service, where he played a lot of baseball in Virginia at the time, but he had to give up his craft of playing professional baseball. I mean, what Bob Feller had to give up and Ted Williams and those who had to give up years of their career to service, I mean, Willie Mays would have been a 30-home-run guy, 40-home-run guy. We're talking about the difference, and as Chris said, maybe Willie Mays being the all-time home run king. You never know where he played today. There's a lot of band boxes today, a lot of places where the ball flies out a lot easier than in San Francisco. Jared is in Las Vegas on 920 on our Willie Mays tribute show. Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, JT, real quick. 1975, I believe, I don't know, 15 years old. It's Willie Mays' last All-Star game. So he gets a ball to center field. I don't know if it was he caught it or it was ground ball. But when he threw it home, the announcer said that would have been a perfect strike if it was a pitch at his age in 1975. A perfect strike from dead center field. That's it, JT.
Thank you. You know, again, who had a better arm? Who could run the bases? Who was better all time first to third with Roberto Clemente and some of the speedsters who have played, Jackie Robinson. You know, when we get back to that, who's the fourth guy on the Mount Rushmore with Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, and Babe Ruth? On that tweet that I sent out at JT the Brick, a lot of people came back with Jackie Robinson. And I think that Jackie Robinson was maybe the most impactful baseball player of all time. Impactful. But I don't think that Jackie Robinson, I don't have him better than DiMaggio or Gehrig or Ted Williams. I don't. But some people do. But what we're talking about is Willie Mays. You're not going to hear anybody ever, not in your lifetime or way after your lifetime, ever debate Willie Mays being on the Mount Rushmore of the greatest American sports athlete icons in the history of this proud country of ours. It's really a great life, and it's a good day to celebrate him. It's kind of slow for football. We got some content coming up with the Raiders, but for Willie Mays, I could talk about him all day long over a cigar and a beer and listen to some of the old-timers. A lot of people are in our chat talking about celebrating him tonight and some of the great players of all time. I'm really interested in watching the game tomorrow night and how that's going to look. And I think it's must-see television because it's the perfect time to watch Major League Baseball. Watch Major League Baseball pay tribute to Willie Mays. And the Giants are a class act when it comes to that, too. And from Willie Mays Plaza, you know, I live right across the street above Momo's. I lived in San Francisco 2 years as they were building Pac Bell Park at the time. Oracle, but it was Pac Bell back then. And I would do, that's when I was doing 8 hours a day, which has never been ever approached before by anyone other than me. 8 hours a day, 3 in the afternoon, noon to 3, then 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. And I would come home at 2 a.m. and I'd have to go to bed. I was exhausted and I'd hear the bong and the iron workers building Pac Bell Park. And building Willie Mays Plaza. I remember all the years that I continue to go back to San Francisco. If it was Mick and Hayward or someone else or a Raider fan that was going to the game, I'd say, hey, meet me at Momo's and let's walk in past the Willie Mays statue. One of the best statues. I'm a big statue guy. I love me some statues. I'd love a Legion Stadium to have a Stabler statue or somewhere down the road. You don't have to just play in Vegas. I love statues. Is there a better one than Willie Mays at Willie Mays Plaza right there in front of that gorgeous ballpark? It's a great place to meet and have a beverage, and I'm sure there's probably flowers and roses out there. 702-365-9200. Help me out today on the Willie Mays tribute. Vinny Bonsignore will join us in studio next hour, and we'll continue going with that. A lot happening around here in Vegas. We have our new programming coming up, which Bobby and I are working on. We started talking about it today, the top 10 Raider games of all time. You wouldn't believe how many people are debating this one. What do you have at number 9 and 10? If you got to leave out the Sea of Hands or Red Right 88 or Ghost to the Post, which one do you leave out? I'll give them an honorable mention. I'm going to mention it, but I'm going to go with 10. 10 to 1, and we're going to debut that on July 8th before we head to training camp in Costa Mesa on July 23rd. Feels like it's a long way away, Bobby. But it's not. It's not a long way away. 702-365-9200. Happy Edmonton won to keep that series alive. That's going to be a little bit of sports fun to watch along the way. And the Willie Mays catch and what he was able to do in the World Series. We have the sound of that coming up. Willie Mays tribute show on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Mays catch in the World Series, the greatest catch of all time, as Chris and West Oakland texted me to say that about that catch. He made a great point. That great catch in the World Series physically could not happen today. It was 460 feet away from home plate where he caught the ball. There's not a ballpark in the majors that's not a homer anymore. And very important. He's right about that. Willie Mays, someone said that his range was foul pole to foul pole. And if he wanted a ball, get out of his way. He's going to go catch it. Great arm, a five-tool player. I mean, is there anybody else today that you would think that you could compare to Willie Mays? I really can't. I mean, when it comes to comparing anybody to Willie Mays, that would be a fair comparison. A fair comparison. The only player, and I'm a big Derek Jeter guy, right? Derek Jeter. Mariano Rivera is the greatest closer of all time, no debate. There's a lot of good, great baseball players. The player that jumps out at me that could have been in the category of Willie Mays was Mike Trout. And then Mike Trout just got too many injuries. He's injured again. You look at Trout's first 5 years, they were Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle. I thought that Bryce Harper had the ability to be a type of player like Mickey Mantle. And then we've seen, you know, Ronald Acuna Jr. had the injury this year. Mookie Betts. Let's get Mookie Betts here fighting through an injury. Mookie Betts is a five-tool player. I mean, he plays shortstop, he'll play center field. I mean, that's like Willie Mays-esque and all the other players that are out there. So we're paying a tribute to Willie Mays. I was saying to YouTube and to Bobby before we came back live on the radio, you know, 5 years from now, no one's going to take calls on the radio. This is over. This is the end of call. You're welcome to call in. Someone died, call in. That is going to be over in 5 years from now. Good luck getting into sports radio 5 years from now, unless you got like nine guys to talk to and want to talk to a guy behind the glass. The days of talking to people on the phone are coming to an end. I don't know if it's going to be 5 years or eight, but it's coming to an end. So be appreciative today that you can call into one sports show or a couple, because I know Vinny's in for Q today. He's going to do it too, on the life of Willie Mays. 702-365-9200. Bobby, we have the Willie Mays retirement speech clip here, which is a good one. I want you to hear this because, you know, Willie Mays has been a Hall of Famer for a long time. He went in first ballot right after his great career.
I hope that with my farewell tonight, you would understand what I'm going through right now. Something that I never feel that I would ever quit baseball. But as you know, it always comes a time for someone to get out. And I look at the kids over here, the way they are playing, and the way they are fighting for themselves, tells me one thing. Willie, say goodbye to America. Thank you very much.
Willie Mays, one of the great last speeches and goodbye to baseball. You know, at the end, he played a long time, 24 All-Star games. And with the length of that career, at the end, was he an All-Star as he kept getting elected and going back? Well, that's debatable at the end. You know, the All-Star game is for stars, All-Stars, and they kept bringing back Willie Mays. But he was a very productive player. And when he came to the Mets, he was the defensive productive player overall. And for our Bay Area listeners who are listening in the Bay, and we know who you are, we see the streaming numbers from the Bay. That must have been fascinating to go to a Giant game. And with the Bonds years were very difficult because I was there for the Bonds years. I was in the locker room. I was at the games and I was doing radio pretty close to the Bonds world back then. And Bonds was an angry dude. He was really angry. He was bad to some teammates. He was really bad to the media at times. He was terrible. I was in the locker room one time. He came out with a towel. He looked like he was just a tiger let out of a cage. What are you all doing here? That was his line. I was one of, what are you all doing here? Willie Mays didn't treat people that way. And I think that Bonds is atoning for this. So I talked to a friend today. I had a meeting today this morning over at Virgin. Got some exciting announcements coming with Virgin Hotel there. And we were talking about this topic. And this should soften Bonds up here in the next couple of days. I think that San Francisco loves Barry Bonds, even though the majority of San Franciscans who went to the games knew he was cheating, knew he was aggressively cheating with performance-enhancing drugs, and they kept giving him a standing ovation, which I always thought was very unique. This is a guy chasing his godfather, working with Victor Conte and Balco, the clear and the cream, who never could have hit that many home runs, never could have got that big, never was a power hitter, never, like Willie Mays. And he surpassed Willie Mays and flew by Willie Mays and Henry Aaron. And the pocket of fans in San Francisco, I'm not blaming them for this because I watched it with my own two eyes. They were in the middle of drinking cold beer and eating Gilroy garlic fries and wearing a pullover sweatshirt in the summer and watching these Bonds balls land in the water in McCovey Cove. Well, he was tracking down Willie Mays. Those were Willie Mays he was tracking down before Babe Ruth and Henry Aaron. And I had a really bad taste in my mouth when he passed Willie Mays, and Willie Mays was forced to be involved with all that because he's his godfather and loves him. And then you got the great Bobby Bonds and his relationship with him. And that was something that for me, because I wasn't a Giant fan, I was very uncomfortable with that because I said, this isn't right. And I'm hoping that Barry Bonds here in the coming weeks and months and at the celebration of life and all that, I'm all for forgiveness, man. I apologize all day long. I make a lot of mistakes in my personal life, and I apologize for it. I hope that Bonds is looked at differently here. I would keep Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame forever. This isn't a popularity contest. Baseball's Hall of Fame is the toughest one to get into. Okay, if your feelings get hurt, too bad. You're not getting into Cooperstown because he went from maybe getting to 500 home runs to shattering 700. Okay, and we know how he got there. Willie Mays lost the he lost 100 home runs playing in the wind of Candlestick. I don't think you can argue that point. But if Bonds, he's not going to admit to cheating because that'll keep him out of the Hall of Fame for life. You can't admit that you cheated. Look at Lance Armstrong. You know, the 7 Tour de France, why did he hold on and not admit it? Because once you cheat, your legacy's over. And I'm just hoping that I look at Bonds coming off the next couple of days on the death of his godfather, Willie Mays, and we look at him differently. And I think we'll be able to do that. I'm hoping that Barry Bonds, I know his agent, I know some people around him, really has a big week representing Willie Mays and the family. Mitch, you're holding in Jersey. Mitch, go ahead. You're up next. What do you got?
Peter and JT, I agree with you with the ballparks, the loss of time, all that baseball. I'm glad they didn't count the Negro League's numbers. Played the best position in any sport is center field, and he was tremendous. Great power. I loved him, and Willie had to be the best tandem. Willie McCovey came in 59, I believe. What a tandem. What a lineup to face. Should have won more World Series. Thanks for taking
Yeah, thank you, Mitch.
Sorry that phone calls are coming to an end.
Yeah, thank you, Mitch. I appreciate it. No, phone calls aren't coming to an end. I'm just aggravated that I don't have any Willie Mays calls today. I'm aggravated by that. I can do, let's give away tickets and koozies for the fifth Raider fan. I don't do that crap. Today, Willie Mays died yesterday. I want to talk about Willie Mays for 40 minutes or so. Well, I appreciate the call, Mitch. You're always welcome to call. 702-365-9200. And Willie McCovey and Willie Mays, he made a very good point. They should have won more World Series. I mean, the dominance of the Yankees at that point in time, you know, the Brooklyn Dodgers, and when the Brooklyn Dodgers won in 55, Willie Mays winning in 54, and the Yankees were a juggernaut then. The Yankees were loaded. And you look at the players that played at that time, and the Negro League stats now that we're using, and for Josh Gibson, and Willie Mays was a very young player when he came into the major leagues. That's why he had such great longevity. Longevity to me is everything. You know, sometimes you have a shooting star. You have Gale Sayers. He plays 6 seasons, and he goes to the Hall of Fame because he was so dominant. And if you're a shooting star and you're great for a short period of time, that's important. But longevity also means a lot. That's why when we have the debate of the all-time greats, LeBron James is surpassing Jordan, and he's going to lap Jordan consistently. And people are going to say, these are the type of people who are so ignorant. They're going to say, well, you know, LeBron played longer than Jordan. What? Isn't that good? When Michael Jordan could not physically play anymore after playing 2 years in Birmingham, and we're talking about Willie Mays in baseball, right? And you see all this, and LeBron played instead of trying to play tight end for the Cleveland Browns. He decided to stick to basketball and go to NBA Finals, and he didn't win them all. You know, what LeBron's going to do in the next 2 or 3 years is something that Jordan physically could not do. And Jordan physically couldn't play in the NBA as a 17-year-old in high school. Couldn't do it. We know that to be fact, not fiction. Well, there are a lot of Negro League players who are better than Major League players by a lot and weren't allowed to play Major League Baseball. Think of those players who didn't have a chance to compete against the great white baseball players. That means the white baseball players would have given up more home runs to the African Americans, fact. That means the white players would have struck out more to the African American pitchers, we're assuming. But baseball has got a very dark stain on the history of the sport because so many players could not play Major League Baseball. Willie Mays and Henry Aaron were very fortunate because of the black players before them that helped them become great players in the Negro League to make a transition to Major League Baseball. It wasn't a smooth transition because of all the racial issues that they had to deal with. You know, imagine going to a ballpark with death threats. Imagine going to a ballpark and there's a drunk guy behind you in center field calling you racial terms. It's a lot different than it is today. I mean, a lot different pressure back then trying to make it and put food on the table because you didn't make any money compared to the players today. I saw today, Bobby, Pascal Siakam. He's a very nice player. Won a championship with Toronto. Good player. $189 million. What? $189 million on a contract extension to Maxwell in Indiana. Are you bleeping kidding me? Pascal Siakam's going to get $190 more million dollars to play basketball in Indiana for the Pacers. Oh, my God. You think of what Willie Mays made. Just crazy. And this is all in our lifetime. A lot of people's lifetime. 702-365-9200. Hey, Vinny Bonsignor is in the building because he's hosting Q Show, I think, for the next 6 days. Q went on vacation. So Vinny's going to be here. I'm going to have Vinny in, and we're going to talk about Willie Mays and the Raiders and the lack of Raider coverage that we're seeing. We got great sound from John Miller on the life of Willie Mays. We have more and more on Willie. Bobby did a big job today coming in early and getting some Willie Mays sound. And if you'd like to call in on that, 702-365-9200. Go to our YouTube page. There's a lot of people in there every day. JT the Brick YT. You can find it on my Twitter bio. Subscribe and give it a thumbs up if you can.
Here's the pitch to Willie.
Swung on, hit deep to left. That one is way back. What a goodbye, number 600 for Willie Mays. And the bye-bye, Baby Bonanza. And the Giants come to home plate to greet him. Number 600 for Mays. He hit it over the 370-foot mark. A standing ovation here in San Diego for Willie.
Didn't know Willie Mays hit his 600th home run in San Diego. How about that? JT, back with you. We're paying tribute to Willie Mays today. We got Raider content coming up with Vinny Bonsignor next hour, and we'll continue with our Willie Mays coverage here. I got to assume that there's some fans who either know of Willie Mays, heard of him, watched him play, know how he is as an icon, or just care about baseball. 702-365-9200, and we're talking and celebrating Willie Mays' life. The same thing we did with Jerry West, Bill Walton, and the great Jim Otto. And we talked a lot about Jim Otto when he was the first of these legends to recently pass away. You know, someone in the chat, and I appreciate everybody coming in on Twitter and everybody talking about, you know, who's the fourth player all time. And I keep seeing Ohtani's name. And I keep wondering what I'm missing here. What am I missing here? Ohtani, anybody want to guess how many wins Ohtani has in his career as a pitcher? Anybody like to guess? Just say it in your car. Say it, you're listening by your computer. Say, JT just asked me, how many? Ohtani's supposedly this great pitcher, right? He can do something that no one can do. He can hit and pitch. Okay, I agree with you. I see it all the time in Little League. The best player is the pitcher and the hitter. How many wins do you think Ohtani has? Anybody? That would be 38. He's 38-19 lifetime as a pitcher starting in 2018, and it's 2024 and he doesn't pitch anymore because he's injured. I want him to get healthy. I want to see him pitch every 5 days. Please pump the brakes with Ohtani, okay? Pump the brakes on Ohtani when we're talking about Henry Aaron, Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, Joe DiMaggio, Pete Rose, Ted Williams, please, with this Ohtani stuff. Now, if we want to assume Ohtani is going to be the next whatever, I'm okay with that. I got the stats here right in front of me. Very good hitter, very good player, very good. No problem with that, but stop putting Ohtani on any bleeping Mount Rushmore. You sound stupid. He's a great player, and currently he might be the best player in the game. He doesn't have the numbers of Aaron Judge. He does have in some categories. But Judge and Ohtani are very similar right now. And the last I looked, Ohtani doesn't pitch and neither does Judge. So it's an easy comparable for me to make. And I love great baseball, man. But Willie Mays, he's on the top of the list. I believe, and I know a little bit about this because of my dad and talking to baseball players my whole life and being a fan, I think that it's fair to say Willie Mays is the greatest baseball player. He died yesterday at 93. The only two I think you can compare him to are Henry Aaron and Babe Ruth. If I'm missing something, let me know. Big Jose in San Jose. You're up next. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, JT. Thank you very much, as always, for being the platform of getting it to us how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate your integrity of the sport. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to call in and say that I'm a lifelong baseball fan. I grew up in A's fan because my father was a diehard A's fan. But living here in the Bay Area, you know, even though before I really became a knowledgeable baseball fan, it was Willie Mays, right? Because I'm 57, going on 58 years old. Mm-hmm. I was just a wee little kid when he was playing the Giants before he left back to New York, not to really appreciate his greatness. Right, but then now looking back in hindsight, you know, I feel really blessed. My dad had always said that Willie Mays was the best player who ever played. And I feel blessed to have grown up here in an era where I got to see, you know, players like, you know, Raleigh Fingers and, you know, and arguably the best leadoff hitter of all time, Ricky Henderson.
Yes.
And even one time when I work in tech, in about 2013, I was walking down the street towards Ruth Chris Steakhouse in downtown San Francisco, and I ran into the Willies. The Mayor Willie Brown, former Mayor Willie Brown, and Willie Mays. And I'm telling you, that was a moment where I felt like starstruck. And I worked, you know, with I used to work with Roger Craig in tech. I mean, so I met some athletes, being an athlete, but that, I mean, just the representation of those two icons of what they mean to the Bay Area is a moment I'll never forget. And I'll always appreciate having had the opportunity to be around at a time, you know, when Willie Mays' greatness was in the Bay Area. And I just want to say rest in peace to probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, player of all time.
Excellent phone call. Excellent phone call, Big Jose. Appreciate that. I needed that one. Needed to know that there was someone breathing out there and knew who Willie Mays was. Great job. Fantastic. And we're the same age, the caller and me. And, again, I just remember my dad. Oh, the conversation would always come up, Mickey, Willie, or the Duke, right, in a song. And I can understand why Brooklyn fans love Duke Snyder, who was a brilliant player, a legendary Dodger, why the Polo Ground Giants of New York love Willie Mays. And Mickey Mantle, this is a tough one. I think Mickey Mantle at times was better than Willie Mays. The Triple Crown years and what he did, obviously many more World Series, a great slugger. And Mickey Mantle, before his knee injury, was faster than Willie Mays on the bases. But I think Willie Mays was a better 5-2 player than Mantle, who struck out a lot. But they were iconic. And Willie Mays wasn't a guy staying in a bar till 4 in the morning drinking, right? That's what Mickey Mantle did. How many home runs did Mickey Mantle leave at home plate because he was hungover? Because instead of going to bed at 11 at night with Yogi, he went to bed at 2 in the morning or 3 with Whitey and Billy and wasn't at his peak to play the next day. You never heard that about Willie Mays. You didn't hear that much about Henry Aaron. You didn't hear it about certain players at that time. But those guys lived a different life. They partied more. They smoked a ton of cigarettes. They drank a lot of beer. They drank a lot of beer in the locker room. But for Willie Mays, I think one of the things that jump out at me are the 24 All-Star games. Because all the times that I've ever called Pete Rose, and I hosted the Pete Rose Show, which was a big break in my life, and Pete talked about how badly they wanted to win. The National League president would come in and be raising his voice on how important it was to win the All-Star game. And you had teams where Pete Rose was on with Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, Roberto Clemente, Willie McCovey. Those great National League teams. Recently, it's been a big run on the American League teams, right? The American League teams have dominated the baseball All-Star game. But for Willie Mays, they took that seriously. the bonus that they got, the money, the share that they got for playing in the playoffs, and the ability to go back home. I just remember Willie Mays growing up in New York as a kid when the Mets in the 70s. I'm just a young boy. And Willie Mays was everywhere. He was on the cover of the newspaper every day. He was on television commercials. The Mets were on live TV for me on Channel 9. I had the Yankees on Channel 11. We're talking about our local channels. And Ralph Kiner's interviewing Willie Mays. Those are memories that will never escape me. And Bobby, you grew up in Boston. Mm-hmm. And the same with you, with Yaz and all those great players at that time and even beforehand. That's a big part of the backdrop of our lives.
See, I had Channel 38 with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. But on Saturdays on NBC, you'd get Kirk Gowdy and Joe Garagiola, and you'd get the Game of the Week. And that's where you'd see Pete Rose and mm-hmm. Willie Mays and all the other players.
Hey, one last thing on that when you mentioned Kirk Gowdy. So today, as I was at home this morning, I turned on NFL Network to see if there was any news, and they were replaying the entire Raider game of their first Super Bowl, Super Bowl 11, the entire game. So I sat down there, and I've watched it before, but I only watched about 10 minutes. So the Raiders were up 16-0, and I noticed how conservative Minnesota was, taking the full huddle, handling it off up the middle, punting constantly. And then the Raiders punted at the end of the first half. So I think there was 7 seconds or 17 seconds to go until halftime. And Ray Guy, who had a punt blocked earlier in the game, when Minnesota didn't take advantage of it in the goal line and score. So anyway, the Raiders punt, Ray Guy punts, and the guy that comes down to defend the punt is Morris Bradshaw, friend of the show. And Morris got clipped badly. And Kirk Gowdy is on the call with Don Meredith, and they say, man, that Morris Bradshaw is going to be the next big receiver here on the Raiders. They go, the Raiders like to groom their players. It takes a couple of years. And I texted Morris Bradshaw, and he got right back to me. I said, Mo, unbelievable highlight in the Super Bowl. He got dinged, banged up, but was the first one down there, and I watched that today. And Bobby reminded me when he said Kirk Gowdy. Those broadcasters back then were great. And how about Vin Scully? Didn't meet Mickey Mantle 2016. That's going viral. Where Willie showed up in the booth with Vin Scully. Vin Scully was calling his games in the 50s, but didn't know him. And met him in 2016. Maybe we'll play a little of that. Hour number two coming up. Vinny Bonsignore will join us. You don't want to miss that as we continue with our Willie Mays tribute brought to you by Modelo, the number one beer in America.